Hi there, my name is Osioma and you're welcome to my podcast. Here I talk about my life from the standpoint of faith, career, relationships and everything else in between. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for checking us out and I hope that this is value adding to you. And if you're a returning listener, fist bump. Thank you so much for returning to listen and I really hope that this is value adding to you as well. And today I'm going to talk about boundaries in relationships. And I've had it in mind to talk about this for a bit, but I don't know, I've been procrastinating and then something happened to me this week, and when it happened I just smiled and, you know, put on one of my boundaries. Oh, actually I already had that boundary in place, so I was just like, oh, thank God I have this in place, and I did not even feel bad at all about it. But that's not the way that I always, you know, have been. So I was like, oh yeah, I think I should talk about this so that people can learn how they can, you know, institute boundaries in their relationships if they have not already, and how, you know, not putting boundaries in place can just stress you unnecessarily. So yeah, I'm gonna talk about what boundaries are, you know, why do we need boundaries, and how to set up boundaries if you have not, you know, intentionally set up boundaries before. And you know, I'll be talking about, you know, some examples here and there of things that happened to me. And so yeah, sit tight, grab a cup of coffee, lean back on your bed, on your seat, whatever, or as you're walking, and you know, yeah, I hope you enjoy this. So first of all, let's start by boundaries. What are boundaries? Like, boundaries, what does it mean? Well, boundaries, this is a non-dictionary definition, so I'm just gonna say it as I think it is. But yeah, I think this is what it is. It is what it is. Boundaries are things that you set, structures, yeah, that's the word, structures or rules that you put in place to guard your heart and to guard your life. Yeah, that's what I think boundaries are. So an example can be to say, well, I do not collect food from strangers. Sorry, I don't know you. I'm not collecting food from you. That's a boundary that our parents, when I was growing up in the place that I grew up, boundary that my parents set in place. My dear, you are not collecting biscuits from people you don't know in school, because at the time, a lot of people were doing wonders with biscuits and sweets in schools. And so that's a boundary. Another boundary can be like, oh, well, as a young man, I do not pick calls from sisters or from girls as a young godly man, because I am trying to avoid myself, prevent myself from, you know, catching unnecessary feelings. That can be another example of boundaries. Yeah, so having understood what boundaries are, why do we need boundaries? I mean, why can't I just live my life in a free mode? You like me, let's go. You don't like me, still come. Everybody come. And the sure answer is because you are only truly fully sure of yourself. And I'm not talking about being paranoid here. I mean, there's people that we live in this world that have different, you know, intentions, have different character, have different traits that you are not aware of fully until you start to intimate yourself with them to a certain degree. And you know, you cannot just allow just about anybody on God's green earth to just walk into your life or walk into your space. And when I mean space, I mean like even mental space or emotional space, and just behave anyhow. It would upset you, you know. And a lot of people are drained of energy but don't know. Okay, I'm jumping points, but yeah, point number one, to guard your heart, to guard your life, and because, you know, obviously you don't know the intentions and character of, you know, everybody on God's green earth. Second, to avoid unnecessary conflict and woes. A lot of times the things that we get ourselves into as human beings, and I know this topic might sound like I'm talking about romantic relationships, but guys, I'm even talking about even relationships with your family members. So I'm not talking about romantic relationships alone. To avoid unnecessary conflict and unnecessary drama, like there's certain drama that we get ourselves into as human beings that, to be very honest, if you had boundaries in place, or if I had instituted the boundaries that I'd put in place, these things would not have happened and I would not be feeling the way that I'm feeling, you see. So that's another reason. And then the third reason is to conserve your energy. I recently started observing like my energy flow. And I know this sounds very somehow, but yeah, what excites me? What are the things that makes me very energized? And what are the things that makes me very tired? And I realized, you know, as I observed myself and also started to observe the people around me, I realized that people get very tired. Yep, you say, oh, I'm just tired. I mean, it's not like you were doing bricklayer work for money, or you were like doing heavy duty work. You might just sit in your house and you find that you're very tired. And I realized that a lot of that is because of the way that we engage with people and the kind of people that we let into our space. And it's very possible for you to be tired or drained of your energy because of the people that you relate with, because of the relationships that you surround yourself with. So three reasons: one, to guard your heart, and because obviously you're not sure of every other person's intentions and their character. Two, to avoid unnecessary conflict, unnecessary drama. And three, to conserve your energy. Now, having said this, how do we set up boundaries? Okay, thank you, sis. I get your point. So how do I start to set up boundaries? And I think the very first point will be defining your relationships. If I pick a random person in your life, can you tell me exactly what that person is to you? And you know, like, I didn't used to be like this. Now, if you come into my life and say, okay, who's this person to you? I can tell you exactly who that person is to me. Now, this might not be who I am to that person. You know, it's different, you know. So for me, I can be, you know, a person might see me as a friend, but they're not necessarily my friend. Or a person might see me as an acquaintance, and I think, oh, but you're my friend, you've blessed me so much, and they're like, okay, yeah, but you're just an acquaintance. Or a person can see me as, oh, my classmate, and I'm like, oh no, you're my mentor. So you see, it differs. And I wasn't always like this, because obviously maybe it's not obvious, but I'm a very happy person. Like, if you see me at any given time, I am happy. If I'm very sad, I'm in a reflective mood, something must have happened that, you know, tipped me off my natural balance. And because I grew up as an happy child, or as a happy child, you know, I was very playful as well, you know, happy, energetic, playful. And everybody growing up was my friend. I see you today, you are my friend. Tomorrow, my friend. And because I assumed, or I gave friend status to everybody that came into my life, it got me into trouble a lot of times. And I'm going to share this example. I feel like I might have spoken about this somewhere before. Maybe if you've heard the story before, it's okay. But I met someone online. This is even like, she's a female or a young woman or a girl. And you know, one thing about me is I the words that I speak matter a lot. Like, I literally believe that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So you cannot catch me talking to someone and saying, even if you're like my enemy, or you're someone that I absolutely do not like because of something you've done, or a Nigerian politician, if you get to that level, you can't catch me saying, oh, so, or there, or mumu, or cursing, like, till I drop. You will not hear me saying stuff like that. And that's just the way that I've grown up, because words are so sacred to me. Like, the words that I say, oh, they matter a lot. Like, the things that I speak over people, the things that people speak over me, the way that my brain interprets it, it's words are just sacred to me. And so I meet this person, and you know, in my mind, you know, we start to vibe, oh, my friend. And then something happens, something that, to be honest, I would think she misunderstood me, and I also misunderstood her. So there was misunderstanding in our communication, because it was text, right? We're texting. And then she said some things to me, and I'm like, Holy Spirit. Like, I was outside, and I just started crying. Like, I was on the road, and I started crying. And I'm like, oh my God. And to be honest, like, it wouldn't have mattered to me if I had not given her, like, friend status and related to her as a friend. And I was talking to someone when that incident happened. I cried, though. Like, I cried from where I was until I got home. I still continued crying. And then I sat back and I reflected on it. I'm like, why did this happen to me? It's because I saw this person. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. You really inspire me. I'm really so blessed by your whatever podcast, whatever. Oh, thank you so much, sis. I really appreciate. And from there, we start to talk, you know. You put up a dance video. Oh, I like your dancing. Da-da-da-da-da. Me too. I see a video. Oh, I really like. And then that was how we into friend status, without me knowing her character traits. Now, you know, sitting back now, and now, you know, tracing back the way that our friendship, or quote unquote, whatever we had, progressed, I realized that, oh, this is somebody that probably was emotionally unstable because of some things. She had trust issues. She was going through some things that me and my mind, those things were not, or things were that I was not familiar with. So because I wasn't familiar with those things, I did not know how to, I don't know, like, when she's in that, I don't know, zone, I didn't know how to relate. I just couldn't relate. And so because of that, you know, it led to her saying things that, you know, I prayed over myself. Like, to be honest, like, I prayed over myself to get myself out of, you know, the mood that I was because of the words that she spoke over me, you know. And to be honest, if I show you the text, you'd probably be like, what's the big deal? Why are you crying about this? But It's just the way that I was wired. So, step one, defining your relationships. If I pick anybody in your life, who is this person to you? And to be honest, it's not you being mean or, oh, please relax, my dear. I'll give an example, right? Jesus is my perfect example. I'm Christian, so obviously, like, a lot of the things that influence my life's decisions, the way that I think, is, you know, Jesus, the Bible, and God, and all of that. And, you know, in the Bible, we see Jesus Christ had, you know, obviously, like, somebody that was feeding 5,000. You can imagine the fans and followership he had. But then he had disciples. And when he was going to talk about the things that God was going to do through him in terms of his death, burial, and resurrection, you did not see him jumping on the mountain and be saying, guys, guess what? I'm going to die in 3 days. Rise up. You see all these flowers? You people will bow. Finally, you people will come and surrender. You know, he wasn't doing that. You know, the people that he was speaking to about these things that were sacred, you know, to him, they were his disciples. And you know, even those disciples, sometimes the things he was saying, when the time was not like yet come, he was very, you know, cordial about it. And even amongst the disciples, he had the three. There was a reason why he did not carry Judas to the transfiguration. Before he would get there, now Judas wants to sell Elijah and Moses join. Like, there was a reason why he did not. You know, and I feel like some of the things that we study about the life of Jesus, some of those things, we gloss over those things, but boundaries was something that you could see in the life of Jesus. And you know, there was a time when, you know, the Bible records that his brothers at a point, they didn't really like believe in him, you know. And you know, his village people or the people in his community, they didn't believe him because they were like, ah, we Jesus, son of the carpenter, you know. And the Bible says, you know, there was a place he went to, and because these people didn't believe in me, he could not do like so much miracles. Do you see, like, and honestly, like, there was also a time in the Bible that we see where somebody was saying, your brothers are looking for you, something. And it's like, who are my brothers and my brothers? Those people that do the will of God, you know, hear the word of God and obey. Those are my mothers and my brothers. And so you see a lot of relationship defining in scripture. But now a lot of people think because you're Christian, so therefore everybody should be your friend. No. We should learn to define relationships. You're my classmate. You're my acquaintance. You're my church member. You're my friend, you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my parents, you're my aunt. Everybody does not necessarily have to be your friend. Number two, having defined these relationships, how do you now, you know, progress? Well, you start to define what's important to you and, you know, what triggers you. And of course, this is where self-awareness comes into play. And I'm going to talk about self-awareness in another, you know, podcast episode and, you know, why it's important, my dear. Self-awareness will help you know what are the things that trigger you. So if you observe yourself, okay, so for the past 1 week or for the past month, what were the events that made me very upset, or what were the events that made me very excited about life? Okay, so maybe I should start to do more of these things and less of these things. So for me, like I already said, what's very important to me, what's very sacred to me. And so because of that, I mean, so for instance, you cannot just see me on the road and start talking anyhow. I remember that when I was in when I was in university, I met someone on the road, and to be honest, I had it in mind. I don't talk to strangers on the road, like, because I don't know you, fam. I'm not trying to be cool, but I just don't know you. But that day I woke up, I was going to teach. I used to teach this, I used to do like tutor or lesson teacher, that's what we call it back home, for this family. And then I went to this family to I was going, you know, to go and teach. And then I just woke up like maybe 5 or 10 minutes before. So I just washed my face. So I was still quite sleepy, because me, I don't wake up, like, I boot. I take my time to boot. Even if I'm awake, I'm still waking up. And so I was still waking up as I was going on the road. And then I saw this guy, and he's like, hello sister. Now, in a normal day, that's what, like, except I dropped something, and why are you hello sister in me? I don't know you, like, fam. You know, it's not like I mean, of course, when people have met their husbands like that, for me, that's the way I was trying to go. Plus, I lived in Unilag, so there's all sorts of creepy people around. And so this guy was like, you know, hi, sister. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, yeah, something. He's looking for one man that was sick, you know, essentially 419 mode. And, you know, because of the way my heart, you know, that's the problem. Once I start to listen, and it's not even just me, the way these 419 people work, 419 scammers, once they start to talk to you, like, you don't even know when you start to be very sorry for them and all of that. Essentially, I was already in their vehicle, and they had given me something to chew, like, to eat. and I'm like, no, if I start to chew on this thing, like, that was when my heart just came back to me. If I start to chew on this thing, oh my god, I can pass out. It can be something that was charmed. I don't even know what gave me the boldness. I just told them, stop the car, and I got out and I started to, like, run away. And, you know, for me, if I had not put boundaries in place, I mean, because I'm such an emotional person, to start telling me of your brother that died and then the wife that they threw out of the house, I can be very, you know. So, essentially, know what triggers you. For some people, you like, tell the story from now to tomorrow. It doesn't change anything. For some people, it's touch. For some people, it's whatever. Just know what triggers you and set those and stuff around those things, and don't say, oh no, when I get to that bridge I'll cross. No, have the rules even before those situations present themselves. So for instance, like I gave an example earlier, as a young, when I started to realize at a point in my life, I think I've spoken about this, I had a series in 2019, you can check it out on, you know, my becoming, and I spoke about, you know, how my relationship with guys had evolved and love and all of those things. And one of it is, or during that period when I feel like God was helping me to rid myself off of unnecessary, like, male situationships, I realized that, okay, I needed to set boundaries in place. So, for instance, I don't take calls from guys past a certain time. As I speak to you, there's only two people, two brothers or two men in this world, apart from my dad, that will call me past a certain time, and I'll seek it at first instance. Like, there's only two people. And that's because, obviously, they've been my friends for, like, 40 years. And for them to call me at that time, there's something that they have to talk about. Do you understand? Or something's happening, or maybe they need my help with something. Other than that, my dear, send me a message. I would now gauge whether, like, I don't just take calls, because I have seen how taking calls in the middle of the night, midnight calls, my dear brothers and sisters, is the beginning of a lot of issues. So you want to really guard your heart against stuff like that, if, I mean, that's your thing. So essentially, know what triggers you and set rules around those things, and don't just copy these rules, like, because, oh, so somebody said they don't take calls by 10 p.m. so me said I will not take calls by 10 p.m. no, like, I mean, have a reason to why you do these things. Have a motivation, because that's what will help you when those situations present themselves, you know. Another thing is me learning to say no. I didn't used to know how to say no. In fact, I'm just learning as far back as recently as literally last year, that's when I started to actually learn to say no. Before, invite me to whatever, it passed my budget, so you know, pass my budget, so I'm there. Whether I love to be there or not, I'm there, because somebody said I should come for their birthday party. Well, the birthday party is in a place that I typically will not go, and I don't really, like, enjoy the atmosphere there. Maybe they're smoking a lot, and me, like, when I'm in a place that's, like, heavily smoke, it chokes me. Like, it's not even me trying to be whatever, I feel choked. Like, I don't like to inhale smoke, it messes with my system. I can start to cough and I do not like it. Or if I'm in a place where that's strongly fragranced, I can start to choke, to be honest, like, and I don't like it. But now, because somebody has invited me to their birthday party and I have not learned how to say no, or I've not instituted the no boundary, then I get myself into situations that just unpleasant. Why should I displease myself so much, like, so much, because of what my housemate invited me to a party? I don't want to speak loud, but really, you're my housemate, you're not my friend. So please, there's no reason I should constantly, like, displease myself, you know. So have reasons why you set these boundaries, and do it, you know, ahead of time, even before the situations present themselves. And learn to say no. Oh no, sorry, I'm busy with something else. Sorry, I don't really like to go to these type of parties, but we can do something else to bond if you'd like. We can, you know, go to a restaurant, we can eat out to celebrate your birthday, but I won't just be at that party. Or sorry, I do not have this in my budget for this month. Sorry, learn to say no. Okay, and then I already said learn to say no. Do not move your boundaries anyhow. Approximately 2 weeks ago, I was in a coaching session, a mentoring session, and my coach mentioned show up for yourself, and showing up for yourself being a form of self-respect. And to be very honest with you guys, like, I did not dip it immediately. Like, I did not understand it properly. I'm like, what's the correlation? But then I understood it, you know, the more that she explained it. And the point is, when you constantly do not show up for yourself, so for instance, you say, tell yourself, I'm going to wake up by 8 a.m. tomorrow, so I'm going to sleep at 10 o'clock, so that, or what, 12, so that I can wake up by 8 o'clock, and then you, I don't know, start to, what, text late into the night, or someone calls you, or whatever, you end up sleeping by 3 and you wake up by 9 o'clock, as in things that you could easily have controlled. What you're saying to yourself is, my dear, I don't respect you, because I know it sounds somehow, but if somebody at work or your boss or your supervisor in school or whatever says to you, you might need you to be here at a certain time, you respect that. Okay, yeah, somebody, my professor has asked for me to be here at a certain time, I'm going to be at this meeting for a certain time. But then you say to yourself, because you might want you to be at school by 9 a.m. but then it's 11 o'clock and you're still tying your towel around the house just gallivanting, you know. So showing up for yourself is a way of self-respect. And in the same vein, sticking to the boundaries that you have set up is a form of self-respect. So you don't want to teach yourself that oh well, my boundaries don't matter. So no. So when you set boundaries, stick to them. And then when people breach your boundaries, don't just suck it up. Learn to stand up for yourself. And obviously, this is something that, why do I say obviously so much? This is something that again, growing up, I did not like learn. Like, when people offend me, I apologize for them to myself and I keep it moving. But I'm learning that if you're, especially if it's like a close relationship or someone says something that you do not approve of, I mean, if they are random people on the internet, you probably don't bother about them. But for me, if I call you a friend and you do something that should not, that is like breaching my boundaries or something that I do not approve of, I'd learn to say, you know. And I think it's very important for, you know, for this particular group of people, for you to assume that their intentions towards you are good. The Bible says for us to, you know, make allowances for each other's faults. So I assume that your intentions for me are good, and so I ask you about it. And then your response to the way that I feel like my boundaries were breached is what now determines, you know, going forward. You see, so for some people, they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that that was something that, you know, you didn't like or something that would hurt you. I'm so sorry, I'll try not to do it again. Or for some people, they're like, and then when, you know, so you know the difference and how to move on from stuff like that. And yeah, that's the end of, you know, the things that I have on here in terms of steps to, you know, setting up boundaries. And I know it's not, you know, kind of it's probably not the 1-2-3 or is it logical format, you know, it's all about the place. But I believe that this has helped you see the importance of boundaries and has helped you at least get a starting point to how you can set up boundaries. And to be honest, like me, I have, you know, I mean, I've said this before, but I have Excel sheets for everything, you know. I have a document for my morning routine, I have a document for my evening routine, I have a document for how I keep my testimonies, I have a document to keep my prayers, I have a document for boundaries. Yep, Osioma's rules and regulations, because I mean, I can't just be keeping all these things in my head. And to be honest, I look at it from time to time, not because when somebody say, hey, what do you say, you want to see me, okay, give me a minute, let me check my rules. No, I keep it before me a lot of times, often and often, to just remind me of the things that are important to me and how I can guard my heart. I think I will end with this. Oh no, before I end, I wanted to tell you guys what happened or during the week. It's not really like in details that made me say no, I'm going to talk about this. So as I talk about this, so that if the person is listening, they don't feel a certain type of way. Anyways, you know how like someone sends you a message and be like, oh, can you please help me mentor this person? Or can you, in fact, two stories. Can you please help me mentor this person? Or can you please help me tutor this person about something? Maybe they want to submit their statement of purpose. And I'm like, oh yeah, sure, go ahead. Definitely check my email. And then this person's like, you're not responding to your emails on time. And I do respond to my emails on time, even if it's to tell you that I will attend to this at a later date. But the thing is, if the email is, like, important. Because I can't, like, if you're sending me an email, to inform me of something, sometimes I'm like, oh yes, send. Well, if you're sending me an email 4 times in a day to inform me of your progress on something that I don't necessarily need to be informed about, so it's not a defining. So for instance, you're applying to school, right? Okay, thank you, I've submitted. Oh wow, I just got a notification now that my submission has been received. Okay, ah, guess what, I just checked an email of the professor. That I don't need to respond to those emails per second, and my response rate was probably like within a day I would respond to them, you know. So if my supervisor sends me something, I'm like, okay, I would. Even like sometimes when I remember that I was having a conversation, this podcast is a long book, it's just so people should enjoy. I remember that my supervisor, one time when I just started my program, I was talking to her about, I think it was on Sunday or something, I didn't respond to an email or something. And, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to put my email on my phone because I don't want to miss out on it. But she's like, please don't. Leave your email on your laptop. right? If you when you're working, you see an email, but you should not have to interrupt you. As in, from that day, to be honest, my respect for her like skyrocketed, because I'm like, yeah, I need people around me to remind myself that my life and my be all and end all, how they say it, should not be like my school, you know. So yeah, back to the story, Sha. This person kept sending like things that, and then after that they're like, well, can you give me like your mobile number so that, you know, I can text you of updates if I need your help. Okay, I think at that time there was one email that I didn't miss. To be honest, this thing was like within a day. Maybe they mailed me in the morning, I responded in the evening. And then I'm like, okay, you know what, take my WhatsApp number. And then they take my WhatsApp number, and you know, like from that minute, hello, typical me will begin to start to look for ways to respond and be like, okay, yeah, sorry, because I feel like, oh no, my WhatsApp, so therefore I need to respond so that they will not see that I left them on red receipts. My dear brothers and sisters, I did not even know how I subconsciously kicked that. Then the person asked me something like totally ridiculous, like outside of the SOP that we're planning, outside of the work, and I'm like, as in, no, for what now? Like, for what? Like, this one, I didn't even feel sorry for leaving it unread. And then the person sent me a message again about the updates of the application of stuff they were doing. And then I responded directly to that, and I'd ignored like all the messages in before. And I think that sent a strong message that you can't just see someone and maybe somebody start chatting about, maybe it's just something very irrelevant. I don't want to even talk about it on the air. But the thing is, the OCM of before, without boundaries, I would have started to look for ways to explain everything, how to be nice. But fam, your purpose in life is not to be nice. That's a discussion for another day. But yeah, that's an example. And then the second example before I round up would be, you know, and I was very grateful that I had that boundary in place, that, you know, first of all, my red receipts on WhatsApp are off, because it just makes me feel very, I attend to messages when I need to. You cannot control my life because of an app. It's not possible. It's not. It shouldn't be. But anyways, I might turn it on later again, but yeah, I don't know. And then the second example I wanted to give was about, so when I first moved into Manchester, I've said my location. I mean, it's on the internet, right? But anyways, when I first moved into this place, I remember that my dad was very particular about, oh, I want you to make friends, da, 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 da. And then there was someone that, you know, my dad in that someone my dad knew back home, and the person was like, I know a family living in Manchester. And my dad was like, okay, it would be nice for my daughter to have, you know, normal. Now when I heard it, my man, I'm like, you know, I don't want unnecessary Nigerian drama. I'm Nigerian, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to shade my people, but me, I know what I'm talking about. Almost as I had, you know, anticipated. And this person, you know, apparently, it's a long story. The person, I don't even know whatever happened to. I thought it was a family, but it wasn't a family. It was just one person. And, you know, they start to talk to me. And the next thing, they start to be like, oh yeah, why are you doing a PhD even? Like, I'm like, no, I no. For you guys to know how dramatic I can be, I went back to the top of the chat. I'm like, but this person just met me like a few minutes ago. And then they start to say stuff that's like, I felt like was derogatory to, like, for you to say to a woman. And I'm like, I do not appreciate you saying these things, right? I don't appreciate the fact that you're saying these things. I feel that they are derogatory to a woman. And they're like, oh no, chill, my dear, chill, I'm just playing. All right. And then they go there again. I'm like, I don't appreciate you saying these things. And they're like, it's like, you don't know me. This is how I play. Of course, I don't know you. And the more I'm telling you I do not appreciate this, the more you should pay attention to what I'm saying. And then, long story cut short, I cut communications with that person. And I'm not going to tell you what I did, but I just made sure they had no access to me anymore. And, you know, I'm sharing all of these things for you to see that, you know, because I already said that words matter to me, that thing that person was saying about, oh, am I doing a PhD, all those derogatory comments he was making about, like, women, could have affected me. And then, just as I'm like, no, yeah, you won't even have opportunity to say it again to me, especially because I warned you separately and you're not paying attention to me. So I'm saying all of these things to say that in life you'll come across different types of people, and if you do not have boundaries in place, you'll just be having your energy sapped. And that's why you will not see somebody that was supposed to be a mentee or someone that was just supposed to, I don't know, ask for a favor, you know, you will not start chatting back and forth with the person and then end up in a situationship, or you not end up dating a married man. May God deliver us from evil. Amen. I'll end up with this scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And for me, that's the summary of it all. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. That's it. That's just it. If the Bible did not feel like our heart was needed to be guarded, it wouldn't say it. To guard means to protect, to keep under secure lock, or to, I just said secure lock. To keep under secure watch, you know, pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to the things that come in and what goes out. Pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to yourself. You deserve it. Okay? God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope this, I don't know, made you laugh or added value to you. I hope you added value to you, even if you laughed or whether you laughed or not. Have a lovely rest of your day and God bless you. Bye.